This is the Apple This Extra.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Apple Viz Extra number 59. It is September the 12th. It is just a couple of hours since Apple's September 12th product announcement event. So we're all gathered around to talk about what they introduced to us and what we thought of those products. I'm joined by three fellow Apple Viz team members. Firstly, Alex Hall. How are you, Alex?
I'm great. I'm going to be less great when the charge for that new Apple Watch hits my wallet, but I'm good.
I feel your pain, my friend. I feel your pain. Also joined by Tyler Stephen. How are you, Tyler?
I'm good.
Great to hear it. And of course, Scott Davert. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good. I can feel my wallet crying already, though.
Tell me about it. So it's just been a couple of hours. We've had a time recording. So it's we've had a couple of hours to digest what Apple showed us, I guess. They started the event in the usual way with a video, I believe. From what I could tell, it was somebody navigating on a bike through Apple campus to make their way to Steve Jobs Theater using Siri navigation and so on. And people online are saying it was a very funny video. It would be nice if they had audio description for those inserts.
Take their word for it, I guess.
It just occurred to me watching today's like that they don't have audio description. That would be nice. But anyhow, Tim Cook came on stage and the usual kind of opening, told us, how great iPhone has been over the last couple of years and so on. There are now up to 2 billion iOS devices, which is a kind of an amazing number, isn't it?
It really is.
In what, 10 years now? 10, 11 years?
Yeah, 11 years.
It's absolutely incredible. And he talked a little bit about retail as well and the fact that over 500 million customers per year into retail. So, yeah, the usual kind of updates at the kickoff. And he then set some expectations right at the start and said, we'll be talking about two products today. So we knew iPhone and Apple Watch. There were going to be no iPads and no Macs in this event. So who knows? We might be talking again in October. Who knows? But for today, it's Apple Watch and iPhone. And Apple Watch was what we got first. The Series 4 Apple Watch is what we are onto now.
Yes.
Alex, you really want an Apple Watch, I think it's fair to say, isn't it?
I think really want is an understatement. I'm kind of mad that they don't have them like on the way right now. You got to wait. And I guess briefly, we'll just hit on why. Because I've got the Series 2 right now and it's, swim with it. So it does the waterproof thing. It's got the GPS and all that fun stuff. But I got the chance to use the Series 3 a few weeks back. Just for a few minutes, and that was great. That Series 3 is a lot faster than my 2. Now, Apple claims that the Series 4 is up to 2 times faster than the Series 3. So, jumping from a 2 to a 4 is going to be big. Another thing they did, the sensors are better, just all the stuff is better. It's thinner, it's got cool heart things, and I just want one.
Yes. Do you know what struck me as well about the Apple Watch now versus when it launched is they had this really key kind of focused message now. Like they kept talking about these three key benefits, stay connected, stay fit, and stay healthy. Basically, are they kind of the three key focus points of this watch, which is, I think, it shows that the product's really maturing now. And to cover some of the key features of this, we've got now edge-to-edge display. So it's following the iPhone into that area, which means the device is roughly the same size, isn't it? But the screen is bigger.
That was my impression. They said the casing is thinner, but they didn't actually say what the dimensions were. Looking at the product releases, the screen sizes are now 40 and 44 mil instead of 38 and 42. Mm-hmm. And the bands are compatible, which leads me to believe that the casing can't really be that much bigger. Yeah. So I'm going to assume that it's mostly all in reducing bezels.
Yeah.
We're not sure.
That's the impression I got. And I am glad to hear that it's thinner because it was a little bit on the thick side before. Yeah. And so, and that edge to edge, I'm going to be now a bit on the fence. I have a Series 0, so my thing is just horrible. Since OS 4. Kind of game on it. So it takes 20 seconds for voiceover to wake up sometimes. So I cannot wait to get this thing, but I'm on the fence, 40 or 44. Do I go? I had a 42 now, so
Do I take the chance? That's the interesting thing. Like I'm not sure you know, can we now go to what was the 38 with the bigger screen mm-hmm. and get the smaller watch and save some money? Saving money is good. I'm going to have to see this in person really before I can figure that out.
That's the other dilemma, because you want to pre-order on Friday.
Yes.
But you want to see it in person. Scott, you also mentioned you're really looking at the watch.
Yeah. I also have a Zero edition, and it's about time for it to retire. Ever since watchOS 4 is when it should have retired. I'm looking forward. I mean, Alec, you're talking about a leap from a 2 to a 4. Think about from a 0 to a 4.
I can't even imagine. That's going to be a wow. It's going to be great.
And Tyler, did anything stand out to you from watch around the UI was talked a little bit about?
I don't have an Apple Watch. I think the Series 4 is impressive with all it can do. Its product maturity for one, and its features in addition to the new features coming in watchOS 5. I don't know if I'd want an Apple Watch. I've looked into it over the years, but I found that for the kind of stuff that I do, I always have my iPhone with me. So I really haven't seen a compelling reason to want one and to buy one. But I, you know, with this one, I'll reevaluate that.
Yeah, it's fair enough. I've always been a little bit I've always had the Apple Watch, but I wouldn't be one of the absolute evangelists for it, but I do like it.
So you like it, but don't love it, correct?
Yeah. And so if I'm going to wear a watch, it may as well be an Apple Watch. And I do like to wear a watch.
Because I don't really, I don't typically wear watches or things on my wrist. I love my iPhone. I love my Mac. I don't have an Apple Watch. I never really owned a watch.
That's fair. And I think it's, Alex, is it fair to say that the old kind of the carousel, I think they called it, where the home screen of apps and all that kind of, those kind of apps are dead on Apple Watch now? It's all about watch faces and complications.
I think so. I think you're right there. Lyft recently discontinued theirs. There's a few others that are just kind of going away. Speaking of watch faces and the UI changes you mentioned, that's another thing that really excites me about the 4. With the bigger screen, Apple is introducing a bunch of new watch faces, and I don't care at all about the stupid fire and water and whatever. I don't know. Bubbles. Some magic visual effect stuff. Who cares? But the cool thing is they have a couple new faces that are meant specifically for more complications. One of these faces can show 8 complications at once. Now, I've got the modular face, and I'm sure you do as well. And it can show, what is that, 5? I think 5. So having 3 extra slots is going to be wonderful, especially because it looks like developers are able to add more stuff to them and show you more details without having to open apps. So if I could have home give me a quick little status update, you know, right on the face, or weather give me more details, whatever it is. One of the things that I love about the Apple Watch is the, so to speak, at a glance information, and or at a touch in our case, I suppose. You don't have to open anything. You just raise your wrist and touch on the part of the screen you know the information is, like middle for weather or bottom for calendar. And you have the information. You're done. There's no unlocking. There's no nothing. Yeah. I love that. That is one of the big selling points for me. So having 3 more slots for more information is a huge advantage and is one of the reasons that I really want to get this thing apart from all the other reasons.
Yeah, it does look cool. And it even looks like some of the complications will be larger or something. Or they're able to carry a bit more information.
Yep.
I'm going to be on the fence a little bit again here because I, up to now, have used the simple watch face because I have some usable vision and that's the one face where I can actually look at the clock and read the time.
Ah.
But then I only get 4 complications on that screen. So I'm going to...
That's going to be tough.
What do I do? So I'll have to see when the watch arrives and play around with the different ones. But as well, now that they make it so easy to just swipe between watch faces, so you can have your at work watch face and your working out watch face and kind of so on as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too, because that's one thing that's slow on the Series 1 and 2 and 0 is watch face switching is quite a process. It takes a while. So it'd be good to have that faster.
Absolutely. Scott, are you of a similar mind when it comes to complications and watch faces? Or
yeah, I mean, with the auto speak, if you turn it on for all 8 complications, it's going to sound like you're reading a Stephen King novel with voiceover, which is a bit excessive. Oh, wait, we're going to get to that with the iPhone. Yeah, you know, the complications is one thing for me, but one of the things that I really like is the new crown that's going to give you feedback, because sometimes it's hard to tell with voiceover. You know, whoops, did I turn it too far? Not far enough.
Exactly, yeah, so it'll give you a little haptic kind of clicks, so you'll know like how many kind of clicks you've turned the wheel. That's going to be really cool.
Will be, especially if you have crown navigation enabled, so you can use the crown to swipe through the screen. That'll be a lot better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I didn't for that reason, because it was like, you know, I would turn it too far, not far enough. At least now I know, you know, how far I'm turning it. So, you know, that's a selling point for me right there, just having that feedback.
I hadn't even thought of that, but that's a great point.
And there's some cool, they've got really into the health, I think was a big part, probably the biggest part of this presentation today in the watch, was things like now it can detect if you've fallen, and you can even set it so that it will ring the SOS, emergency SOS, if you fall and there's no, you're then immobile for a whole minute. Do we like this?
I think it's going to be great for people who, you know, are seniors specifically. You know, not only that, but yeah, if you're working out and stuff, you can fall down. Here's my question, though. Let's say I went and got one that was not the cellular. You know, I just had the GPS and my phone is out of range. Does that mean then that I cannot even use emergency SOS, or is there a way that can happen, like through Wi-Fi or something?
I would imagine it's the same as it is now, is it, in terms of SOS?
It should be, because basically if you're in Wi-Fi range, you're good. I left my phone at work a couple weeks ago, actually overnight. And as soon as I got home, I was able to unlock my lock and get messages and all that right on my watch because I was within a known Wi-Fi network. Now, if you're at the gym and you don't have Wi-Fi there, or you haven't joined it, yeah, you could be in trouble.
Yeah, it's still...
If you're out walking and you're in the park or, you know, I don't know, doing whatever you do, you forget your phone at home and you're at the gym with the treadmill and you fall, you know, unless you're in range of a Wi-Fi network, you better have that cellular one or you're not going to be able to use that feature, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, my worry with, well, not worry, but my possible concern with this feature is just knowing how easy it is to trick the watch. I mean, I can get a lot of exercise and calories burned if I just stand there, and I just kind of have this habit. If I'm standing still, I just kind of swing my arms. It's just something to do. And I found that I can half fill my rings over the course of a workday just by doing that for a few minutes at a time, not even thinking about it. So if it's easy enough to trick it that way, I have to wonder how many people are suddenly going to be getting calls from EMS. Hey, you called us. Did you fall? Well, no. Yeah. No. So it's going to be interesting to see if that false positive problem actually becomes a real problem or if they fixed it.
Accidental trigger is something that worries me as well, because it's happened to me even with the current system where somehow something on my sleeve or something has pressed in the button. Next thing I hear somebody going, "Hello, sir, are you okay?" And I'm like, "What? make it stop.
I don't know that you'll have too many false positives. I mean, they talked about how much research has gone into this. They didn't elaborate on it, but you know, if it detects that you're moving, within 60 seconds, then it won't automatically call. You can close it.
Yeah, it'll just give you a notification, essentially, to let you know.
I can just see myself at work. I'm super frustrated with the problem. I throw my hands up. It triggers. I don't realize it. So I sit there for a minute just stewing in my rage about this problem I can't solve.
Head in your hands.
And then calling 911. So we'll see if that ever happens. But
I wonder how those jumping jacks I do will fare with that feature.
Yeah, I know. I do jumping jacks too as exercise. But I wonder if I would imagine, and I don't know this, but I would imagine that if it was about to trigger, that there'd be some kind of feedback, some kind of, you know, a cap on the wrist or something that would indicate that SOS was being activated.
Yeah, I hope so.
I believe it does. And going even further with health, they, of course, have continued the heart monitoring and improved heart monitoring. One thing is that it'll detect, you know, abnormalities in your heart rhythm and alert you to those. And also, mm-hmm. for you guys in the US, in the short term only, you can do ECGs.
Yes. Yeah. And that's, I don't know how many people need that, but for those who do need it, it's going to be a massive thing. Yeah. You know, if you're someone who needs to get regular ECGs for whatever heart condition you have, I imagine being able to do those at home instead of having to schedule an appointment, come in and all this stuff, it's going to be a lot simpler. What I'm wondering, though, is what happens with insurances? Are they going to accept an Apple Watch ECG, or do you still have to come in and do it in a hospital to make it valid and to make your insurance, your provider, actually accept the data? It's going to be neat to see all that.
Well, now. They did say it's FDA approved, didn't they?
They did. I'm just not sure if there's a difference between a consumer level device like that and, I don't know, a hospital level, whatever the next level is. I'm not sure. I don't know enough about this stuff. It's just, I'm not sure how all that's going to work. And I imagine there's going to be some battle some way down the line where people are going to try to use this data and insurance is going to say no, or hospitals are going to say no, and there's going to be a big thing. But maybe not. Maybe not. I hope not. But it could be.
Yeah. I suppose it's a wait and see, that one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't have a heart, so that doesn't apply.
Absolutely.
There you go. Save some money. You don't need the upgrade.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know that it could be as accurate as what you get in the hospital. If you go to a cardiologist. Mm-hmm. But what I do know is that it can point out a problem to you that you may not be aware of. And that was the whole thing with the heart rate monitoring. And they made a good point. You know, they talked about, when your heart rate speeds up, we'll give you a notification, but it can also get too slow. And that's equally as important. You know, if you're not getting enough blood to your the rest of your body, that can really cause a lot of problems, just as many as having, you know, some kind of a cardiac event the other direction. So
true.
I don't think it's going to replace some of the medical hardware. I'm not a doctor and I don't work for a hospital or anything, but I think what its appropriate use would be, or at least that would be the way I would plan to use it. It's a surface level thing. It's, you know, I'm going to go for my checkup. Yeah. But in the meantime, let me log this information anyway, because that brings us to a different topic, which is syncing up with the health app and then being able to share it with your provider. If your provider, as mine does a lot of the support for digital and encrypted data sharing.
I think you're absolutely right. It's a tool to kind of help you monitor, and then it might warn you. It might be the difference between whether you decide to go to the doctor or not. So
now I wonder and I worry that there may be some false alarms with this, but
the WebMD syndrome.
Yeah, right. Exactly. On steroids, because now this is on your wrist and it's directly telling you, your heart rate is, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, does the general public even know what your heart rate is supposed to be? You know, or is Apple going to even, you know, give you a little bit of an education before you start using it? Yeah, your heart rate should be somewhere between, I think, was it 60 and 100 at resting? Mm-hmm. So, you know, but again, if you don't use it very often, let's say, for example, my resting heart rate, I don't know, I think it's like 60 something, whatever it is. I wouldn't know to look before now, you know, to see if there's an abnormality. And that's one of the things it can track, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah. And it's been able to do heart rate too high for a while. But heart rate getting too low is new. The rhythm is new. And the ECG is all new. So we've seen some examples already on, you know, the various news sources of people saying that they went to the hospital because their Apple Watch warned them and it was actually a very serious thing and it saved their lives. Now you don't normally see the media talking about how people went to the hospital and they didn't need to, because that's not a good story. So I do wonder, with what you were saying, Scott, how many people do that? How often does that happen? And we have no idea. But honestly, I'd kind of rather have the false positives if it's going to continue to save lives and help people instead of the other way around, I guess.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I think health is definitely the big story from the Apple that they told around Apple Watch. On the aesthetic side, they gave us, I think it's the same as last year. So there's a silver, a gold, and a space gray in the aluminum.
Now, that was, I'm not positive. That's what they said. But my mother recently got a Series 3 Apple Watch, and she had the Series 0. She had a rose gold Series 0. She absolutely loves the rose gold color. When she got the Series 3, it also came in space gray, silver, and gold. And she told me that the gold is actually kind of more of a, it has pink in it. So it's not gold like the older gold was, where it's just, you know, gold. Yeah. It's apparently a bit more of a pinkish color almost. So none of us can verify this, obviously, on this call anyway. But I'm wondering if they're continuing that trend or if they're going back to more of the pure gold of the older devices. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I have no idea either. But we will find out, I'm sure. There's also, I think they said the edition is now...
gone.
It's gone, but they mentioned
a
ceramic black, did they not mention, and a gold plated.
Oh, so the back of all the Apple Watches is now a ceramic. Mm-hmm. That way it's radio transparent. You get better cell signal that way, they say. And it has sapphire on the heart rate sensing glass cover. But the ceramic itself is no longer around. The edition is gone completely. The stainless steel is the only higher end model available now.
So that is stainless steel rather than edition. Okay. I think they said, did they say that's coming in black then? Maybe I could have sworn I heard something about a black finish.
Yeah, the stainless steel is space black.
Okay, very good. So I don't know which one I want yet. Do you?
Yeah, the other thing that I really am hoping, as somebody with a hearing impairment, I really want that speaker to be louder because if I'm in anything other than an absolutely quiet environment, I struggle a lot to hear my Zero Edition Apple Watch. But not only do I hope the speaker is louder, I hope the Bluetooth output audio level is higher because I had the same problem even when Bluetoothing directly from my hearing aids or a Bluetooth receiver when I was recording watchOS 3 podcasts. It was very low. So I'm hoping they've also raised the volume at some point with the Bluetooth connectivity.
That'd be good because they did mention the speaker itself on the watch is 50% louder. At least. So yeah, hopefully the Bluetooth output can be improved as well. Any final thoughts on Apple Watch or shall we move on and talk about the iPhone?
One other thing that I'm looking forward to is the new processor is the 64-bit version, which will be interesting. But they updated the tracking sensors, the motion sensing stuff. They said it can sample up to 8 times more, I believe. And I'm just pulling these numbers out of memory right now. Don't have my notes in front of me. But that is huge. So a lot of the motion-based stuff that it uses to determine how many calories were burned, that should be more accurate. I think I mentioned before, I swim with my watch all the time. So I'm looking forward to having more accurate stroke detection and pool length counts and that sort of thing. So that'll be really good too. If you are someone who does a lot of stuff with your watch where the motion tracking is important, that's definitely something to consider. And we didn't say yet, but all of this and the battery life hasn't changed. I know people were hoping it would get longer, but it at least has stayed at the same 18 hours as the previous generations.
Yeah, actually, I'm with you. Certainly I'm happy enough with the battery as it is. If I'm getting a whole day out of it, I think I'm pretty happy with that. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I charge it every night. Thing is, when I get the 4, I'm going to start using it for a lot more. You know, I'm going to be hooking up my AirPods to it and doing things that I'd normally rely on my phone for. So I think that 18 hours is going to drop a lot faster than 18 actual hours. So we'll have to see how the battery stands up to. Yeah.
They did say workouts are up to 6 hours, I believe, now.
Yes. Yep. You can do that.
Yeah. And if we're anyone interested, it starts at $399 for the GPS version and $499 for the GPS plus cellular version.
We also should probably mention that the third edition is going down to $279 now.
Yes, yep. Very good point.
Yeah. If you don't need all the, or if you're not sure whether you want to spend all that extra money, $279 is a little bit more of an attractive price, and third edition isn't horrible by any means.
No, it's a really good watch. And also, don't forget that a bunch of used Series 1s and 2s are about to hit eBay and all the other markets. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye out for those if you want an intro device just to see if you like it.
Oh, yeah. And what I was hoping to see was quicker charging. I use my Apple Watch when I sleep so that I have an alarm to wake me up. And so when do I charge it? If I'm in the shower, I want to be able to use my Apple Watch because when I have my hearing aids out, I hear nothing. If I can set up some kind of a smart home, I would like to know when my smoke alarm goes off. So when do I charge it?
You know what you need, what you need, Scott, is two Apple Watches.
I was about to say, exactly.
Well, hey, if you want to help fund me with that, I will gladly accept your assistance.
Oh, God. I believe it's available for, is it pre-order this Friday, the 14th of September?
Yep. Pre-order and Friday, available
21st.
Friday, 21st. Right?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Very cool. So I think that is us done with Apple Watch. Next was Tim Cook came back on stage and, of course, talked about the iPhone. He started by kind of recapping what made the iPhone X last year so different to what had gone before. Mm-hmm. And I suppose then went on to introduce Phil Schiller, who introduced the iPhone XS and iPhone XSX. I can't say it anymore. This is going to be a problem. The iPhone XS Max. It's a bit of a mouthful.
Not the XS Plus.
No, not the Plus, which is
that would have been too easy.
Not only is that a mouthful, but it's a handful.
It is.
Yeah, huge. The phone. I mean, XS Max.
XS Max.
So the iPhone XS is the same size and dimensions as last year's iPhone X, with faster processor, better camera, the usual kind of updates, I think it's fair to say. Yeah. And then alongside that, we get the XS Max, which is essentially the same phone, but with a larger screen. So the iPhone XS will be in a 5.8-inch screen, and the Max has a 6.5-inch screen, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a new color. So on top of the silver and space gray from last year, it now comes in gold. One thing I think is interesting is in previous years, the S has generally introduced a new feature. So say Siri in the 4S, Touch ID in the 5S, and 3D Touch in the 6S. This year, they haven't quite gone with that pattern. They've gone with the standard updates. Do you think that's fair?
I think, and I could be wrong, but I think they were angling, we'll get to this in a second, to have the AI stuff kind of be the new feature. Mm. The huge camera upgrades that software and AI integration allows. I think that's what they're going for. Their problem is in years past, they've kind of positioned that kind of upgrade as standard. So now we all expect it. We all knew that the bigger, better screen and stuff was coming, but I think specifically the machine learning chip and all those are kind of their S feature that maybe.
Yeah, I guess so. It's also more water resistant.
IP68.
So they talked about spilling not just water, but beer and wine and all sorts of things over these things.
It made me chuckle. They said that testing the immersion of the phones in beer and wine was their favorite part of testing the whole thing.
That's alcohol abuse. I don't like that.
Incorrect use of alcohol.
And with in previous years, like when we had, say, the 7 and the 7 Plus or the 8 and the 8 Plus, there was differences, hardware differences between the two in terms of things like the camera. This year, they seem to be essentially the exact same device. Although I see something that on the larger one, you can use a kind of a split view in landscape mode? Or did I imagine
that? Yeah, just like the other Plus devices.
Okay, so that's probably really the only difference, as well as the fact that it's a bigger screen. Is this, if we didn't already know the iPad mini was dead, it's gone now, isn't it?
Right.
This is the new iPad mini,
pretty much.
So which is crazy. I mean, I get it. They want to make an all-in-one, but really, do you want to cart that kind of thing around? I don't know.
To be fair, it's about the same size as the Plus, so if you're already used to that.
I was hoping for the iPhone 10 Min that would be the same size as like the SE, but nope, no go. Oh, that'd be nice.
And the 6S and the SE are now gone from the lineup, so there's no 4-inch phone in the lineup anymore.
No, and long live it.
Which is interesting. There's a lot of people out there who like the 4-inch size phone. So they are going to be, the 4.7 is going to be the smallest. Tyler, you did not upgrade last year. Is that correct? So you have an iPhone 7. Are you tempted into an iPhone 10S?
Well,
or should we wait until we talk about the 10R before we ask you that question?
It's interesting. Because I had the iPhone 7 and it still seems to work well. Although the performance of the A10 Fusion chip and battery won't last forever. If my battery, say, goes down to a capacity where it would have to be throttled, I will not replace the battery. I will most likely replace the phone because I'm going on 2 years with this iPhone, and that's about the amount of time I spend with an iPhone on average before replacing it. One of the reasons that I didn't upgrade last year was that, for one, on the iPhone 8, it didn't seem like a compelling enough upgrade. And also, with the iPhone 10 being positioned as the future of the iPhone with Face ID and the 5.8-inch display, I had some questions about Face ID. And because right now I really like Touch ID. I like the fact that I can just put my finger on the home button and get in. And one of the things I heard about Touch ID, or the first iteration of Touch ID in the iPhone 10, was that if someone was laying down or they were doing, or if they weren't positioned exactly right, it was more likely to fail. So I figured that I would try to wait out this transition from fingerprint biometric scans to facial recognition.
I can vouch for that actually as an iPhone 10.
I think I actually either read it from you or David Goodwin's review and probably from others too, that there's a higher rate of fails with Face ID than Touch ID. And because I really like Touch ID, and as of now, my 7 works well. So for the last year, I've tried to wait out the first generation of Face ID. I'll take a closer look at it this time around. And time and testing will tell from actual users what the difference is if they claim it's faster.
Apple are telling us that it's now faster in the XS and XS Max.
Yes.
And hopefully more reliable as well. There's also a lot of people reporting that it's got more reliable in software on the iPhone 10 as well.
Yes.
So I think we are definitely moving.
Algorithms are optimized. So I'll definitely take a look at that. I'm not in any rush to upgrade, but I think eventually Face ID will get comparable to Touch ID, and obviously I can't hold out forever. So
yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Another thing they mentioned actually is, I don't know if this is necessary, but they have increased storage to 512 as the maximum. I'm on a 64 and I have enough space.
Yeah, I have 128 on my 7. Yeah.
How about you guys, Scott or Alex? Do you think the storage space going up is actually still needed these days?
I don't know why you would need half a terabyte of storage on your phone these days with iCloud and everything, all the cloud-based services. You know, I think also I'm kind of in the same boat as Tyler, although I upgraded to the iPhone 8 because I knew that Touch ID was going away. And for practical purposes, that's what works for me. It's not a matter of I don't like Face ID because I can't use it. I can. I've trained people on using it, but it just doesn't work for me. Plus, since we're talking about upgrading, I probably will not upgrade. And the other reason is that hopefully we're going to get 5G phones next year. So I'm gonna.
That might be a reason to wait. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Alex, you mentioned the neural networks or the neural engine, I call it, and the machine learning and all that stuff. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah. So basically, what they've done is hooked up a whole new. I'm going to get all these names wrong, so just go with it here. But basically, the chip that processes all the artificial intelligence stuff that iOS does, that's processing images, that's processing face ID, tagging images for searches, that's all kinds of stuff behind the scenes, to say nothing of the AI that individual apps can use if they want to. They put a new chip in there that's designed to watch the AI, the algorithms as they run, and direct them to be run on certain cores of the main A12 chip. So if a particular algorithm is best suited to, say, the graphics chip, it'll direct it over there. If it's best suited to some of the high efficiency cores, it'll route it over there. It basically lets AI run better and in a more optimized way, so it can do it faster, and it can do it with less power. The numbers that Apple claimed, and of course we take these with a grain of salt, are AI can run up to 9 times faster, and it can use up to, well, I guess down to, 1/10 the energy, which means that a whole lot more AI can happen a whole lot faster and not kill your battery. They're using this for a whole bunch of really interesting camera effects that we don't especially care about.
Although, if it's going to do scene recognition and people recognition that bit better, there could be benefit there.
True. Yeah, I can imagine seeing AI, the folks behind that app are just celebrating right now and what they'll be able to do on this new platform. But even though we can't take advantage of it directly, I did find it really interesting what Apple was saying. You can do, if you know what a portrait photo is, it basically takes the subject, puts that subject in the foreground in sharp focus, and then kind of blurs the background, and I guess it's supposed to be a nice visual effect. But what they've done is something that they say no one else has been able to do after the photo's taken. After it's taken, that's the key, you can adjust the blur in the background, and that is all thanks to the AI. It can do automatic red eye detection and elimination. It can set your focus and your balance way better because it can really... it can run the scene in real time through these engines and these algorithms that know exactly what's going on, and they can, in Apple's words, understand the scene better. Yep. And this all allows a whole lot more really cool stuff to happen. Now, this is just images. That's where you focus first, of course. Fair enough. But it'll be really cool to see what happens with app makers, what happens with voiceovers, automatic photo descriptions. You know, will they get better? Mm-hmm. Will they get more accurate and faster? So none of this photo stuff that the keynote talked about today affects us directly, but the AI behind it and the chips behind it on these new phones, I think, are going to be a little more important to our community than we might initially think.
Yeah, exactly. And it's things like suggestions, they were saying, and all kinds of stuff like that as well. There's, you know, when you're typing to, you know, search things, there's a whole huge range of things where AI is in, and machine learning is coming more and more important, I think. Also, it links obviously very closely to augmented reality, which is AR, which is something I have yet to see, even leaving aside visual impairment, I've yet to see any great benefit to. But they seem to be all in on it, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe for, I don't know how this would work for someone with a visual impairment, but like for people who can see, I've heard about virtual museums where you have use your camera and it makes it look how a museum artifact would look in your space. IKEA has an app apparently that shows you what specific piece of furniture would look like in your home if you point the camera to, say, your living room or something, and you can arrange the furniture in the virtual world and get a sense. Those are the applications I know. And of course, Pokemon Go, as that's waxed, the popularity has waxed and waned over the last couple years.
I'm sure there will be benefits, but I think it's taking time to get real, like, stuff that people are going to get excited about with it. But I, at the same time, I kind of think until there's maybe glasses or something that people are wearing, it's going to be limited, because holding your phone up isn't probably the greatest experience, really.
Yeah.
Well, and I think a lot of it, like Alex said, it doesn't really impact us too heavily right now, but it will eventually. Although, as I'm sitting here thinking, so if you're using Area, right, let's say, I mean, they can already help you take a photo. And with this ability to, you know, with the HDR and the ability to add things in later, maybe they could even help you edit your pictures if that's enabled. So that's a big plus. And then also, I wonder if some of this machine learning can be applied to the AI in such a way that, okay, so let's say, for example, we have the measurements app, right? Mm-hmm. We have all of this AR going on. Would it be conceivable at some point, through the use of all this technology, to be able to point your phone at something and have it really come back with a somewhat decent description, including how far something is from you based on that machine learning?
I would think so,
yeah. And even as well, it's going to do a lot of work for people in taking a photo. So even if you're not good at taking photos, it's going to help you to take better photos.
Yeah, you know? You're going to get good real fast here.
Yeah, absolutely. They then introduced us to a new iPhone. And I think this is a really interesting space, because the 8, the 7, the 8, and the 8 Plus are all still available. So you can get an iPhone 7, I think it was from $499 now is the entry level price.
$449, I think it was.
$449, okay.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But coming in at $749, so $250 less than the iPhone XS or XS, is the new iPhone XR. So this is a whole kind of new, it's the size is in between the XS and the XS Max. It's a 6.1-inch edge-to-edge display phone, but it is sort of pitched as a more entry-level than the other two, mm-hmm. because it's an LCD screen and it's aluminum rather than stainless steel. They seem to be the two standout kind of differences. And then you can get it in different colors.
Yay, colors. I'm excited.
Yeah, I would actually love a blue iPhone. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, oh, I always forget you have some vision. I don't know why, but that makes more sense now. Oh, man.
But it's an interesting phone, isn't it? Because it's sort of, is this an upgrade from an iPhone X or is it not an upgrade from an iPhone X? I don't know.
Well,
it's an upgrade in that it has the A12 Bionic chip.
True.
Yeah.
But and it doesn't have 3D touch. I was expecting them to announce it had an iPhone 11. Or sorry, same. An iPhone 11. A11.
I know, I was too. It looks like, and this is great news for the visually impaired community, the biggest differences seem to be that, like Scott said, there's no 3D touch. The screen is less dense. It's got 326 pixels per inch to the XS. What is it? 458. So less cool screen. Who cares? LCD instead of OLED, so it doesn't look as vivid and beautiful. Who cares? It has a single lens camera, whereas the XS has the dual lens setup. Who cares? And apart from that, same chip, Face ID, same speed in Face ID because it's got the same chip, mm-hmm. got all the AI stuff going on. It's got the same front-facing camera if you need, for whatever reason, if you want to do portrait photos in the on the front one. It's got the edge-to-edge display, so if you're all into the new swipes instead of home button, you got that. There's, unless you need that 512 or you're able to see well enough to really use that camera stuff, I don't know that there will be too many visually impaired people who specifically need the XS. The only thing I can think of is the screen size, because the XS is a bit smaller. The XS Max is larger, but the XS mm-hmm. is the smaller of the three new phones.
I would probably fall into that. The XS is about at the limit where I like my phone. In fact, I recently wrote that I preferred the iPhone 7 size even in an ideal world. So, yeah, I agree with that. But aside from that, unless you really like stainless steel or you really want 3D touch.
Yeah. Oh, and it's a perfect phone for pirates too, right? The XR.
Nice.
Oh, Lord. But yeah, I agree with you. It is a it's a definite one to be looking at, I think, if anyone's looking at upgrading their iPhone this year and they want to get on board with the new technology, the Face ID, the new gestures and all that kind of stuff. But it comes.
So that said, David, now I'm really curious. You own the 10, right? The original 10?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you upgrading?
No, I am not.
No.
Okay. I had already decided essentially that I was going to stick with this for 2 years. I often do upgrade it yearly, but this year it's the 10 is still, you know, perfect for me, to be honest. I can't justify. There's nothing really new in a big way in this year's phones that would, I wouldn't notice the upgrade from the A11 to the A12 chip. I know so I wouldn't.
There's one thing that you might actually be interested in.
His wallet already hates you, Alex. Stop it.
Yeah, it could go either way with this one. Dave, you recently wrote a blog post, I believe, where you had a fight with a flower pot and your phone lost.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we haven't mentioned yet is actually all of three new phones have what Apple says, and again, grain of salt, is the toughest glass on any smartphone in the industry. So, might be worth looking at. Possibly you could save yourself some money down the line by upgrading now.
They do tell us that every year, of course.
I know.
It's always the toughest.
The toughest glass, the most advanced iPhone we've ever made, the most impressive iPhone we've ever created.
Yep. That's beautiful.
And it's gorgeous.
No, do you know what I did, Alex? I put a case on it.
That works too.
So, I think I'm going to stay away from the iPhone upgrade this year. How about you, Alex? I know the other two guys are not.
Oh, I have the same phone as Tyler. I've got a 7 128 gig. I've got to say, when I got it, I thought I'd be using a lot more storage, but it turns out between deleting Audible books I don't read anymore and often streaming my iTunes purchases instead of downloading them, I rarely fill up even a quarter, half of that. So I'm surprised there. All that aside, I wasn't going to upgrade this morning. Having seen exactly what the 10R is, I'm a little more tempted. I'm not to the point where I am with the Apple Watch Series 4, where I'm basically begging Apple to take my money. But I'm not also at the point I was this morning where there's no point in upgrading. I don't want it. I don't care. I probably won't, in all honesty, once kind of the wow factor wears off here in a few days. But it is really tempting because my 7 cost the same amount 2 years ago when I got it, because again, I got the 128 storage, so that tacked on some more money to the purchase price. For the same amount, I could get Face ID, I could get the swipe gestures, I could get wireless charging, which I don't have and I'm kind of intrigued by. So I'm almost tempted to upgrade more for the it's new and I want to play with it more than for the practicality, because my 7 still works just fine. It runs everything. iOS 12 works great on it. There's no problem. But I'm kind of tempted, and I hate Apple for being so good at marketing, but I got to say, it's kind of working right now.
Well, you have some time, Alex, because the XR is not available until October.
Yeah.
So, whereas the XS and XS Max are available for pre-order on Friday the 14th of September and release on the 21st. So you have time to think about it.
I do. One other quick thing that we never mentioned that would be possibly of interest. The 10 Max, you're right, this is hard to say. The 10S and the 10S Max. I don't know about the 10R, they didn't say, but those two higher-end phones actually have new speakers.
Yes.
Their stereo field is supposed to be more separated, so it's a wider field. It's supposed to sound better, and the speakers overall produce better sound. They didn't say how. They never gave us numbers. They didn't say it's better bass, better anything. They just said better, so who knows? But that's one thing that I noticed when my 7 came along, and one of the reasons I got it was I was intrigued by the stereo speakers. Mm. I never liked them because the bottom speaker is so much more powerful than the top one that any kind of stereo effect is kind of out of balance and doesn't really come through that well. And if you step a few feet away from the phone, you can't tell it's there at all. So who cares? So I'd be really interested just to hear the stereo effect on the new phones and see how that is.
Yeah, because the 10 is actually already pretty good. So you're right. It will be interesting to see if they've moved forward yet again.
Yeah.
Well, and you have the stereo microphone too. So
true.
If you're, you know, somebody who had those 3D hook recording things, you may not need them anymore. You know, Android's had this for years. It's been a long time coming. I'm actually surprised it took Apple this long to do stereo recording.
I know.
Yeah, that's very true. So that sort of completes the iPhone lineup, I guess. So we start at the iPhone 7 now, starting at 449. You can get the 8, the 8 Plus. I'm not sure if there's a 7 Plus. I assume there is.
I think so. I think so.
An 8, 8 Plus. And then you can get the XR or the 10R, the 10S, and the 10S Max. So everything from 449 up to, well, the Max starts at 1099. And I assume if you go up to the 512, you're probably looking at about 1300, 1400.
Oh, is that
price
all?
Of a MacBook Air.
Yeah.
Right? A good one, too. Not even the entry level.
But it's great that there's a high range, I guess, there's something for everybody, I think, there, whatever your needs are. There was one or two other announcements, actually. I quite liked the piece with Lisa Jackson about the environmental thing. So they told us, firstly, I'm a bit of an advocate for social responsibility or responsible business. I think it's quite important. And they said they're now 100% renewable energy. At least that's within Apple operations. I assume it doesn't include their manufacturers and so on. But within their own operations, to be 100% renewable energy is pretty impressive. And their next goal is to get to using only, require no new mining. So I suppose 100% reused materials as well, which is a pretty cool goal.
And I found it really interesting. They said their motherboards are now made, I think it was from only recycled tin or mostly recycled tin.
Yeah.
So I guess the tin they're saving in not having to mine it for their boards is, somebody help me with the numbers. It was a lot of tin.
Was it like a ton or something?
Tons or cubic tons or something.
That was like 10,000 tons a year.
10,000 tons.
It's a lot. So that's really cool to hear. And I know they're big into the environmental responsibility thing. And honestly, that's part of the reason I like to support them, you know, because I know that when I recycle this box or throw out this plastic or whatever it is, it's either been recycled or it's recyclable. And when I do give up my devices, I know that they're not just going to go to a landfill somewhere. So that's kind of a neat thing about Apple that I do like that I think is often overlooked.
Yeah, and they mentioned the Apple Give Back program, I think they call it. So basically, they will buy back phones from you. If it's not resellable, if it's reached a point where it's where it can't be resold, they will still recycle it free of charge for you. So,
yeah, we kind of. I feel like that bugged me a little bit, I'll be honest. So I get the idea what they're going for. That's great, but they're Apple, and they were recently, what was it, the first $1 billion company?
Trillion.
Trillion.
What was it?
Wow. Trillion, yeah.
I think Amazon also has recently become the second $1 trillion company.
Wow.
That's a staggering number.
It was trillion. My mind just went back to billion because I can't be trillion. That's not right. But they have a ton of money. So I feel like if they're really trying to incentivize people to recycle their devices, they shouldn't just pay you if they can resell it. They should pay you regardless.
And by all accounts, the price they offer isn't necessarily what you'd get if you sold it on Craigslist
or something.
No, it's not
that good.
But
no.
It's at least good that they have that there as an option, I guess.
Yeah, I just wish they would kind of improve that a bit. It irked me when I heard, you know, she explained it right on stage, whoever it was. And I'm like, wait a second, you could do that a lot better. Come on, Apple, really?
Yeah.
Fair enough. One or two announcements right at the end. Tim Cook came back on. He just mentioned HomePod. I don't know if there's any HomePod owners here, but they, I suppose, re-announced AirPlay 2 and stereo pairing.
Yep.
When he said we've got a HomePod update, I was hoping he might say this thing's going international and people outside of like four countries or something can buy this, but apparently not yet. And he also mentioned again the Apple TV update, which is just Dolby Atmos. So just a couple of minor updates to kind of finish.
Well, kind of minor, but the HomePod can actually now do multiple timers.
Yes.
Ah. Huge feature. No one else has that.
Search by lyrics, which is actually kind of cool.
That's fair. That's a good idea. Yeah.
And, not a new idea, but yeah.
I found it funny when he was made this huge deal. Yeah. More than one timer because we're Apple and everyone else already does this. No one talk. We're good. We did multiple timers.
Almost embarrassed as he announced it, I'm sure.
Exactly.
And Siri shortcuts, of course, was mentioned as well.
I am looking forward to that.
Which I suppose, in a sense, it does potentially, anyway, open up to HomePod to being as powerful as, say, the skills on the Amazon one.
I'm really hoping, and I don't know that this would actually push me into getting a HomePod. They do sound very good. My parents have one, but I'm hoping it's going to get a lot of the functionality like Google Home and Echo have. You know, that's the main thing it's missing. We talked about this before where, you know, it's great that I can have Apple play things from Apple Music, but I can sit there on my Echo and have it play from Spotify. I can have it create a Pandora radio station. I can do... of course, Amazon Music. So I'm hoping that Apple has realized they need to really open this up the way the other digital smart speakers have.
Yeah, they're kind of in a sense, I could see, obviously, they want HomePods to generate people or to, you know, drive people towards Apple Music as opposed to Spotify. But on the other hand, I can't even use TuneIn Radio, never mind. You know, choosing between Apple Music and Spotify to me isn't a big deal, but I want to be able to use other musical sources as well, sources as well. I want to be able to play my audiobooks. I want to be able to use TuneIn Radio, you know.
Yeah. I want to go back for a second. We did miss one thing. You brought up international stuff, and it made me remember dual SIM.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For
an eSIM.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's, yeah.
Well, I think there's a dual SIM option in China. And an eSIM, and this is actually the first time I heard of this technology. It sounds pretty cool today, where apparently you have you have one SIM card, but then I guess a virtual SIM also. So,
right. So it's essentially dual SIM either way. It's just in China, they're doing it through two physical SIMs, whereas in the rest of the world, they're doing one physical SIM and one eSIM. But both systems allow you to have two phone numbers active on your phone at once.
Yeah, and it was really, he didn't go into much detail, but the way, I think it was Tim who was describing it, was if you want to add a new line to your phone, you can just get a QR code and scan it, and it knows how to do it. iOS is optimized for having two phone numbers on your device, so it'll tell you which one is ringing when you're getting a call, all that. So it looked really neat. If you have a personal and a business line or whatever, then definitely another thing to look into.
If you live on a border, maybe between two countries, even, you know, border area, anything like that, I can see it. I know here in Ireland, like this, the border area between the Republic and the north of Ireland, which is part of the UK, it can be, you know, when you're around there, you could be on a network either side of that. So I can imagine that those kind of users finding it really useful.
Well, that's the thing. It's going to be huge, I think, in Europe because people are traveling, you know, a lot from country to country. So let's say you're, you're in Switzerland and you cross over into Germany, or maybe you're just close to the border. I had this issue here in the U.S. with Canadian towers from time to time. I don't go to Canada a lot, so I wouldn't want a phone number over there. But if I'm somebody who kind of, you know, lives in one country and works in the other, for example, or something like that, this allows you to have a number in both countries, so you're not going to have that issue. What I don't know is, let's say, let's say I'm on Verizon, but let's say I wanted another carrier because the signal for whatever reason was better with that other carrier than Verizon. Could I, in the same country, have two phone numbers and have it switch over so that if I don't have coverage on one, I'll have coverage on the other? That's my question.
It's a good question.
Yeah, they didn't say.
You would imagine yes, but...
I would assume no, because carriers wouldn't like it, probably.
It's certainly technically possible, but whether they allow it, yeah.
I wonder, because Verizon is CDMA and AT&T is GSM, because those are two separate technologies. I wonder if that would affect how, because like different iPhone models, I don't know how you would provide combined use in one device.
Yeah, no idea.
We shall have to wait and see on that one too.
I had one other comment I wanted to make, and I thought about leading in with this, but you know, then we got started and that's fine. So for the first time, I was able to actually pay attention to the keynote today. I mean, really pay attention like in real time without reading Twitter. I mean, I really caught the whole thing. Now I'm having some issues with my ears, and so audio that's anything other than crystal clear is a real problem for me right now. But I'm like, well, I'm going to go through it anyway. So I went to the Twitter. You know, they broadcasted it on Twitter. And I had no idea this was enabled. I went in there, I hit play, and guess what pops up on my Braille display? The words of what they're saying.
No way.
They captioned the keynote.
Wow.
And you have to be a fast Braille reader to keep up with this. But it worked, and it was amazing to me. It was the first time I've ever really been able to follow an event like that in real time. Now, I couldn't really tweet or do anything like that, of course.
Couldn't move your hands at all.
No. Well, that's the thing. It's a real-time feed. So once it's gone, it's gone. Mm. And they do need to work to improve that. But I just thought that was great. You know, I did not have to rely on my ears. I, in fact, turned off my hearing aids for a while because I didn't want to get distracted. And I sat there and literally read the keynote.
That is awesome.
Well,
wow.
Yeah. Well done, Apple, on that one.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if that was a Twitter thing, an Apple thing, or a Twitter and an Apple thing. But wow. That was an unexpected welcome surprise. That immediately, I was like, yeah. and then they announced the Apple Watch, and I could hardly contain myself.
Great stuff. Well, how about to wrap up? I am going to force each of you to make a decision about what you were going to buy right now. What would it be? Alex.
All right. I mean, Apple Watch is absolutely a given. I'm going for the Series 4. Now, I don't know if I'm going for the Series 4 cellular. I feel like I carry my phone too much to really justify the extra $100. But Verizon, and I'm with Verizon, they usually do a promotion with Apple Watches where you can pay it off over like 6 months. So if I could, instead of spending, you know, what would it be, like $470 after Apple Care and tax, if I could spend a lot less per month, that's pretty tempting. Mm. So I think if I had to right now, I would go cellular Series 4 Apple Watch, size to be determined after I can see them both. And I gotta say, I think I'm going to keep my 7 right now anyway.
Excellent. Tyler, buying anything?
Not immediately. If I buy something, it would probably be the iPhone XS. I thought about the XR, but in reality, I don't need a big phone. So I'd probably go with the smallest one. Because I like the current 4.7-inch form factor. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's not an option. That's not being maintained anymore, besides the iPhone 7s that are for sale for $400-something. So if I was going to buy something, it'd probably be the 5.8-inch iPhone XS.
Excellent. And watch is going to wait another while then for you. Cool.
At least for the foreseeable future, I can't imagine actually buying something.
Cool. Scott, I think I know what you're going to say, but go for it.
Well, here's my plan of attack. First of all, I'm not ordering anything today because there is nothing to order today. I'll get that out of the way. now, when Friday comes around, you know, I have a birthday coming up that weekend. I think I might have to give myself an Apple Watch. And what I'm also going to do is look at seeing, you know, if at least they'll, you know, at least they can recycle my Zero Edition because I really don't have a need for it anymore. Nor do I know anyone who would have use for it, I don't think. So that's what I'm going to do. And I'm definitely not going to be upgrading iPhones this year. I'm a party pooper.
And do you know which size or color or anything like that on the watch? Or are you going to go cellular, non-cellular?
I'm going back and forth on that. I didn't know about that, Alex. You are really destroying people's wallets tonight, let me tell you. First Dave and now me. You're lucky I don't have a long enough cane. I might have to cane you for that one. Uh-huh. But I don't know. I honestly, I'll have to think about that one a bit more. Part of me thinks, well, I always have my iPhone within range of me anyway, so why bother? But, you know, then again, the scenario I talked about, what if I leave my phone at home and I have my watch and something happens? If I have the cellular connectivity, hey, an extra $100 to possibly save my life, that might kind of be worth it. Because, you know, when you lose your life, that's a pretty important part of living, yes?
It is.
Kind of. Slightly.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm having the same debate. Actually, I have to admit, I don't know if the cellular is available where I am yet. It wasn't last year, but they did say there's some new carriers on board, so I'll have to see if it's actually available. Whether it's worth an extra... It's not so much the extra hardware as much as the extra 5 or 10 euro a month on my bill, which I'm uncertain of as well. Would I actually get the use of the cellular? So I'm leaning probably towards the GPS only, but... Definitely 110% definitely getting a new watch. And yeah, I think that just about wraps us up. Next Monday, the 17th of September, iOS 12 will be released and we will have loads of content out on applevis.com. Guides to everything new in iOS 12, both in podcast form and in written form. So do check out applevis.com and the Applevis podcast feed for all that information on the 17th. Aside from that, it just leaves me to thank my three guests. So Alex, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
And I hope your wallet doesn't suffer too badly.
Oh, it will, but I'm hoping it'll be worth it. Still going to hurt though.
Tyler, same to you. Thanks for joining us. And I hope we've managed to tempt you into changing your mind and buying something.
We're getting Apple Watch. He's getting Apple Watch.
And Scott, enjoy your new watch and thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. Are you sure you wanted to deal with me though? Now that it's over?
It's always a pleasure, Scott. It's always a pleasure.
Hey, before we end, I do want to add for anyone who may be wondering, I am not doing what's new in accessibility in iOS 12 this year. And the reason that that's not happening is because there just were simply not enough new accessibility features to write a whole article. So you will see it though, and it will be with the announcement that we will post when 12 comes out. So thanks again, Dave. It's great to be here.
Thank you, Scott. And thank you to everybody for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Applevis Extra. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.applevis.com. Follow us on Twitter @Applevis and like us on Facebook.